This is The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds.
And I'm Marcy Silman. As you've heard, last night, Boeing machinists overwhelmingly and very feistily rejected the company's proposed contract extension.
67%
voting against it. One of those cheering folks was Tracy Smith. He said he voted no, and if he'd had the option, he would have voted heck no.
I would actually benefit from this. I'm going to retire in 2 years. I could take $10,000. I could take the early retirement benefits that are coming. But I'm a unionist, and I will never sell out the people coming in behind me to divide our union, where we get something, but we take something away from the people who are going to be working right next to us in 5 years. I'll never do that. It's like selling your soul.
Boeing officials reacted as you might expect. Commercial Airlines President and CEO Ray Conner said Boeing was very disappointed. He added in a statement released last night, we're left with no choice but to open the process competitively and pursue all options for the 77X, end quote. And reportedly, that's what Boeing people are doing today.
This is a huge story, obviously, with many facets. And throughout the show today, we're going to be talking about what this all means for the machinists, for the state of Washington, and for labor in general. Wall Street Journal Aerospace reporter John Ostrower is in the studio with us. But before we get his perspective on what this vote means for Boeing, let's get a labor perspective. For that, we turn to Jeff Johnson, president of the Washington State Labor Council. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you, Carolyn?
I'm Marcy, but that's okay. Machinists are feeling their oats this morning, Jeff, and people might be looking at the result of yesterday's vote and wondering if it means Boeing winds up leaving the Puget Sound behind. How good is that a deal for labor?
Yeah, you know, so I'm not sure the machinists are feeling their oats this morning. I mean, it was a difficult decision that they had to make in 1 week's time, and I guess from our perspective, it was not the vote was not unexpected. You know, when an unfair deal is put on the table by a profitable company, workers tend to protect what they'd bargained for over the decades. You know, so from a labor movement perspective, we're actually very proud of the machinists for standing up for the middle class. You know, we live in a time of extraordinary income inequality, and the machinists, with their vote, are fighting to protect our community values.
Well, Boeing said today, John Ostrower just informed us that he reported this, that they have no plans right now to come back to the bargaining table. Do you believe that that's a bluff and that they'll be forced back?
You know, I don't. It's hard to second guess the company. I would hope that the Boeing Corporation would take a deep breath or two and allow reason to prevail and reopen negotiations with the machinist union. We believe, and I think most aerospace analysts believe, that Washington State, the business case for building the 777X is here in Washington State. We have, you know, the highest skilled workers. Our productivity rates, output per hour, is greater than any of the other states that have been listed: California, Alabama, Utah, South Carolina, Texas. We've got decades worth of experience putting together the 777. We've got the infrastructure in place here. Clearly, you saw what our state legislature did last week, real incentivizing Boeing to stay and expand in this aerospace hub. And the workers want it. You know, I don't think the no vote was any indication that they don't want Boeing to expand here. They just want to share in the prosperity that the company is reaping due to the work of these machinists.
We're talking with Jeff Johnson, president of the Washington State Labor Council. State Senator Michael Baumgartner of Spokane this morning called on the governor to convene an immediate special session to consider legislation to make Washington a right-to-work state, meaning the Boeing machinists and other Boeing employees would not have to join unions. You think a measure like that has any chance of passage?
You know, you never say never to anything, but I would find that hard to believe in Washington State. I mean, when we look at right-to-work states, and there are 24 of them in the country, and you take a look at the social indicators, all of those states, wages and standards of living are lower than in non-right-to-work states. Spending on education, on health care, are all much lower. Workplace accidents are higher. You know, right-to-work states, a clever name, but really a misnomer. What right-to-work means is it diminishes the voice of workers at the workplace to actually bargain fairly with their employers. It also reduces workers' voices in the legislatures to lobby on behalf of positive changes for our communities.
And finally, Jeff Johnson, earlier this week, the Seattle Times talked with a union official who said that the contract talks exposed leadership issues between the machinists themselves, and that after they rejected Boeing's offer, their next task would be to fix whatever else is wrong with the union. We've heard that from machinists. They've posted it online. In your view, is there a disconnect between the rank and file machinists and the leadership of this union?
So, Marcia, I really can't comment on that. I'm not privy to those discussions. What we clearly saw, though, was that there was an overwhelming vote against this proposal. I think that the International Union, the local district lodge, obviously need to sit down and figure out their next steps together. I think the next steps are to sit back down to the table with the Boeing Corporation and figure out a reasonable, fair, and equitable contract going into the future. You know, we want to increase market share for the Boeing Corporation and increase their profitability, because when we do that, you know, then our wages rise, our benefits rise, our community prospers, and that's what we're looking for, is a shared prosperity.
Jeff Johnson, president of the Washington State Labor Council, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Marcy.
So, Ross, last night's vote obviously has ramifications beyond the machinists themselves.
Yeah, it does, Marcy. The union members took a strong stand against Boeing's contract extension offer, but they're also waging an uphill fight when it comes to the American labor movement.
And we're going to talk more about that with Clark University professor Gary Chasen. That's coming up later in the show.
John Ostrower is with us in the studio. He's the aerospace reporter for the Wall Street Journal.
And, John, you were at union headquarters last night when the vote count was announced, and you said to earlier, it was sort of pandemonium.
It really was. It was rather chaotic.
And you also have wrote, I believe, in the middle of the night, wrote that it was like a feeding frenzy was set off because Boeing is immediately shopping around now.
Exactly. Boeing is essentially fanning out across the country, going to states and state lawmakers, local officials, to really find itself the best deal to land 777X, whether that includes Washington State in the consideration, which it appears it certainly does, or opens the door for South Carolina, Long Beach, Huntsville. The list of cities really is kind of growing and shrinking at any given moment.
Is there anything else Washington State can do to sweeten the pot?
It's unclear at this point. I mean, certainly there are things that state officials would want to add in, but it's not clear that's really on the table at this point for really, you know, clinching this for Boeing.
John, you were telling us what these factories look like and what it takes to build a modern jet airliner. What kind of capacity do these places that might court the 777X have, and how does that compare to what we have here?
Well, there's really only one place in the country outside of Washington State that has the both regulatory infrastructure, the physical production infrastructure to accommodate an airplane like 777X, and that's in South Carolina, where Boeing has been since they broke ground at the end of 2009. But as far as Everett goes and Washington State, Boeing has an enormous factory there already building 777s. They build 100 a year there now, and all of the tooling that's there that would at least in some way be partially common for the 777X, that's available. The big question, the big prize in this is really the airplane's wing, and that's actually going to be made from carbon fiber composites, just like the 787. And that design allows this massive, massive wing. It's going to be the biggest wing that Boeing has ever designed, bigger than the 747. And in doing that, you need an infrastructure that can build these huge, huge composite structures at an extraordinary rate of speed, at 10 or maybe even more per month. So you need a factory that can accommodate the physical moving of something that could be, you know, 90 to over 100 feet long in its own right.
So you need the physical plant, but you also need the workers who can work together under Boeing's lean management style together to make this get done in a cost-effective way, right?
Absolutely. And sort of the tenets of lean manufacturing have always been one that has built taken an existing structure and improved it incrementally over time with thousands of little projects to speed up the production process and make it more efficient and reduce the cost.
Well, I'm curious because you talked about the shopping frenzy that Boeing's going on, John. Do you think there was any amount of bluff, chicken game, so to speak, in an attempt to get more concessions from the unions, and that was all that this is about?
Well, it's so where 777X is right now, it's going to be the last big Boeing airplane for the rest of the decade. There's not going to be another all-new airplane or a major derivative until probably 2023, 24, 25, maybe. And that would be the soonest we see anything. So as far as having a big bargaining chip like 777, this was the opportunity for Boeing to really really work on that.
The timeline really interests me, John, because all of a sudden Boeing says we have to have a decision right away. The governor calls the legislature into special session. The machinists have just a few days to take a look at a contract extension. Did we know this was going to be happening so suddenly? Why is it happening so suddenly?
Well, I think that on the eve of the Dubai Air Show next week, where Boeing is going to be announcing potentially hundreds, maybe even 100 or 200 orders for this airplane, which frankly is actually, if you look at the numbers, it's actually going to make it Boeing's best-selling wide-body airplane ever, actually in all of aviation. So this could really – this is a huge opportunity for Boeing to have its ducks in a row, so to speak, before it really launches on this order spree next week in the Middle East.
Where do you put your money? What state?
Thankfully, they don't pay me to bet on this stuff. But certainly it's going to be a tight battle between Washington and South Carolina certainly is probably the most likely front runner outside of Washington state for its existing infrastructure, and certainly open space in Long Beach, California, where Boeing C-17 airlifter is going to be going out of production soon. So another possible open spot there.
All bets are on. John Ostrower, aerospace reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks so much.